The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter Number 5, Texts Number 20 and 21, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on November 26, 2016, in Kansas City, Missouri, USA.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Padayo patitam balam pratinanja ashisa asara parishvajya charam dharbiyam paramam apa nirvritam Padayo patitam balam patinanjati sashara padishvajacharam dhorbiyam paramam apanirvritim Padayo patitam balam prapitanjata shishara Parisvajacharam dharbiyam paramam apanirvritim padayo at the feet patitam fallen balam the boy Prahlad Maharaj pratinandya encouraging ashisha with blessings, my dear child, may you live long and be happy, and so on. Asara, the demon Hiranyakashipu, Parisvajya, embracing, Chiram, for a long time due to affection, Dharbiyam, with his two arms, Paramam, great, apa, obtained, nirvritam. Translation. When Hiranyakashipu saw that his child had fallen at his feet and was offering obeisances as an affectionate father, he immediately began showering blessings upon the child and embraced him with both arms. A father naturally feels happy to embrace his son, and Hiranyakashipu became very happy in this way. Text 21. Aropya ankam avagraya murdhani ashru kala ambubi asinchan vikasat vaktram idam Aha, Yudhishthira, Aropyankam Avagraya, Murdanyashu Kalambhubi, Asinchan Vikasad Vaktram, Idam Aha, Yudhishthira, Aropyankam Avagraya, Murdanyashu kadambubi asinchan vikashad vaktram idam aha yudhishthira. Aropya, placing ankam on the lap of Avagraya Murdhani smelling his head, ashru of tears, kala ambubi with water from drops, asinchan moistening, tikasat vaktram his smiling face, idam this, aha said, Yudhishthira, O Maharaj Yudhisthira. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Narad Muni continued, my dear King Yudhisthira, Hiranyakashipu seated Prahlad Maharaj on his lap and began smelling his head, with affectionate tears gliding down from his eyes and moistening the child's smiling face. He spoke to his son as follows, purport. If a child or disciple falls at the feet of the father or spiritual master, the superior responds by smelling the head of the subordinate. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Yadeshatarine. So here we have an interesting fact from Srila Prabhupada. Of the spiritual master or the father will smell the head of the subordinate when they bow at the feet. I don't remember seeing Prabhupada ever do this, actually. But there is a very nice example.
He did it when Brahmananda came from...
That's what I'm going to talk about. Brahmananda Prabhu told, when he came back from... He was in Karachi, and he came back to... they were going to kill him, actually. It's very heavy. He was trying to preach in Pakistan. And he sent a telegram. There was no telephones connection or the internet. So he sent a telegram to Prabhupada. Can he come back to Bombay? And Prabhupada said, come immediately. So Prabhupada was just overwhelmed with affection because his son, his spiritual son, Brahmananda, had risked his life to preach in the Muslim country. And Prabhupada was just overwhelmed with the faith. I don't remember him smelling the head, but he said Prabhupada was patting him, embraced him, and is patting him all over the body as an affectionate father. So there is one example when such affection was shown by Srila Prabhupada. Of course, I was also there. Sometimes Prabhupada would embrace the disciples. I was there when... standing with Vishnu Janaswami when Prabhupada embraced him. That was a very wonderful experience to see. Because I was with him as one of his men. And when Prabhupada gave him a big hug, I felt so good. I felt I was giving a hug also because I was one of his men. You see. So this natural affection of the spiritual master for his disciples is a very wonderful thing because that's actually how the mercy of Krishna comes. And the spiritual master feels loving affection for his disciples, and that love and affection is expressed or shown towards the disciples, as the example is given here. That's actually Krishna's mercy coming through the medium of the spiritual master. So the disciple always wants to reciprocate with that loving affection of the spiritual master. He always wants to please his spiritual master. That's the duty and the responsibility of the disciple, to always see that my Guru Maharaj is pleased. I may be in his physical presence, amen, I'd be in his physical presence. The spiritual master lives forever by his divine instructions. His disciple lives with him. Even if my spiritual master is on the other side of the world, maybe even he's departed from this world, you see, that doesn't distance you from your spiritual master. The spiritual master is as close as you want him to be. It's simply a matter of you always thinking about him, always trying to please him, thinking in such a way that it'd be pleasing to you, talking in such a way that it'd be pleasing to him, acting in such a way that it'd be pleasing to him, always thinking, will this thought please my spiritual master that I have in my brain right now? Will these words coming out of my mouth please my spiritual master? What I'm doing right now, will this please my spiritual master? In this way, you have to always think about how you can please your spiritual master. This brings one into the association of the spiritual master. Spiritual master has two presences. He has his vapu, his physical form, which is sometimes there and sometimes not there. He has his vani, or vibrational presence, which is his teachings. He is actually more accessible and more present in the form of his teachings. Prabhupada always felt that his spiritual master was with him. In fact, his spiritual master was not just a feeling, it wasn't just an emotion or a sentiment. Prabhupada's spiritual master was always with him within the heart, blessing him, guiding him, and inspiring him how to preach Krishna consciousness boldly to defeat this materialistic civilization. So when one actually has that kind of dedication that Prabhupada showed for his spiritual master, if you have that kind of dedication for your spiritual master, you'll always feel your spiritual master's presence. He will always indeed be present within your heart. He'll always be blessing you and guiding you and saying, and giving you the intelligence that do this and don't do that. You see, we face so many decisions in our daily lives of how to serve Krishna, how to preach, how to associate with devotees, etc., etc., etc. But if you have that dedication for your spiritual master, he'll always give you the intelligence. What should I do in this situation? What should I say here? What should my attitude be? He'll give you perfect guidance from within at every minute. You see? So the bona fide disciple is never separated from his guru, not even for a minute. He's always packed up tightly with his spiritual master. You see? So the difficulty is, what is the difficulty? We're not so dedicated. That's the problem. I'm dedicated to very dedicated in my tongue and my belly, you see, but not so dedicated to my spiritual master. That's the problem. So we have to realize we have that problem, and we have to take steps to rectify that problem. Well, how do you do it? How do you rectify the fallen nature? How do we recognize our fallen natures? We're more interested in our tongue than we are our spiritual master sometimes. How do you do that? Well, the remedial method is there. Chant your japa nicely. Study the Srimad Bhagavatam. And worship the deities, all of these remedial, all these activities that Prabhupada has given us, you see. These are remedial activities to cure us from our Indriya Seva mood. It should be Guru Seva mood, serving the spiritual master. But it's, instead of that, we're sometimes plagued with Indriya Seva. I want to serve my senses. So let's compare it for a minute. Well, some people say, well, the Guru, that's some so subtle thing. Why not just enjoy while you have a chance? Enjoy, 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 you see. Why torture yourself? Enjoy yourself. Drink. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, you see, the materialistic philosophy. What's the difficulty with that philosophy? Why not do that, you see? Just like all the people here in Kansas City, especially that big festival, everybody's just enjoying their senses, restaurants, you know. Their girlfriends, their boyfriends. They just enjoy, 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 enjoy. Why not do that? What's the difficulty with doing that? Well, the first difficulty is you're not really enjoying. All you're doing is titillating your material senses, which is not you. It's just a covering of the self. You see? You're not really enjoying anything. You have an illusion of enjoyment, but there's no actual enjoyment in material sense gratification. There is zero enjoyment in material sense gratification. It doesn't exist there. Simply the illusion, because I'm falsely thinking that I'm the body, therefore I'm thinking I'm happy when I'm having sex, when I'm taking drugs, or smoking a cigarette, or whatever it may be. You see. I'm thinking I'm enjoying, you see. But actually I'm not. The soul is not experiencing one even infinitesimal drop of ananda when it engages in sense gratification. Absolutely nothing, you see. So, how do you know then? This is some propaganda to by some religious cult to get me to become a member and work hard for the organization, one could ask. Many people feel that way about our philosophy, you see. Are they right? Well, we would say they're, because we're here, we would say, no, they're not right, but what's our proof they're not right, you see? How can you defend what you're doing to an antagonistic materialist who wants to attack you for being a brainwashed zombie? You see? How do you defend yourself against that, you see? Well, there's many, many arguments. It all begins with, I'm not this body. Dehi nosmin yata dehe kumarang jovaram jara tata dehantara praptir dirastata namuyati. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes in another body at the time of death. The self-realized souls are not bewildered by such a change. So the consciousness is there at every step, but the body's constantly changing. The same person is present even though the body is changing. So that any dummy can figure out if he looks at it intelligently that therefore I'm not the body, you see. So real happiness then is to give satisfaction to that spiritual being that's situated within the body. That's genuine happiness. So what is that, the genuine happiness? The spiritual being actually is an eternal servant of the Supreme Person. That's his actual position. That's his actual enjoyment. Jivara Sarupa Hoy Krishnara Nitya Das. So when he becomes reconnected with his beloved Lord, who's the what is the word? He's everything for the devotee, you see. Krishna is everything for the devotee. His whole life is Krishna conscious. Krishna means everything to him. Krishna is the end-all and be-all of existence for him. Krishna is everything for him. Krishna, Krishna. Just like the Brijabasis, you see. They're totally absorbed in Krishna. When Krishna goes to herd the cows, or the calves actually, the gopis, he disappears into the forest of Vrindavan with his cowherd boyfriend, they just freeze because they can't bear his separation for a minute. So when he's out of their sight, they just freeze. They can't do anything without Krishna there, you see. And then when he comes back, they come out of their frozen state and take up their activities again. They just can't tolerate to be separated from Krishna for a minute, you see. So Krishna, this is what it means to be Krishna conscious. Krishna is everything for you. You wake up in the morning thinking, "Oh Krishna, I'm so fortunate that I've been blessed by a guru and by the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas, that I can be reconnected with my eternal Lord Krishna. How fortunate I am that I am now reconnected. I can think about him. I can chant his name. I didn't even know these things a few years ago. I was completely ignorant, just lost in this drowning in an ocean of a miserable ocean of so-called happiness, you see. Completely frustrated. But now, somehow or other, I was so fortunate. I got this opportunity to come back to my actual identity as a servant of Krishna." So, as Prabhupada points out, it is not an artificial imposition on the mind. It is an awakening of the original natural energy of the living entity. This is compared to a match. When the fire comes out of a match, is that artificial? No. The fire was always there in the match. But when you strike it, the fire becomes manifest. You see? So what is that striking? You see?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
You're striking the match of your consciousness. You can also strike it when you drink water. You can remember that Krishna is the taste of the water. Rasoham mapsukonteya. Actually, I was there with Prabhupada in San Francisco in Golden Gate Park. My first meeting was in Divine Grace. First time I saw him. He gave a very nice lecture. There were thousands of hippies there and a few hundred devotees. It's a very big, enlivened audience. And Prabhupada said, actually, you have all seen God. Because Krishna says, I am the light of the sun and the moon. And he said, whenever you drink water, and you drink water once, twice, thrice, more than that every day. He said, every time you drink water, if you remember that Krishna is the taste of the water, then immediately become Krishna conscious. To become Krishna conscious, it is not a difficult job. Simply it requires practice. So there you have it. All you do is practice it, you see. Doesn't matter where you are. You can be in Mayapur, you can be in Vrindavan, you can be in Austin, you can be in Kansas City. Doesn't matter where you are. It's simply a matter of practicing Krishna consciousness. You can be in Maya in Mayapur. You can be in Maya in Vrindavan. You can be in Maya in Kansas City. Be Maya in Mississippi, you see. Or you can be in the spiritual world in Mississippi, Kansas City, Mayapur, Vrindavan. It's simply a matter, are you practicing Krishna consciousness? You see. It's not where you are, it's what you do with your consciousness that counts. You see. By your consciousness, you can be right there with Krishna. Right now, you see. Right here, right now, you can be directly with Krishna himself. It's like Prabhupada was always with Krishna. We can also do it. If we carefully hear, understand and apply the teachings of His Divine Grace, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivajakacharja Astatarasadashi Srimad A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. This process works if you work the process. Someone says, well, I tried Krishna consciousness, but it didn't work. They didn't work the process according to the instructions. I tried to make some banana bread, but this cookbook is useless. But did you follow strictly the recipe? Oh, no, I didn't strictly follow the recipe. I kind of glanced at it and threw some things in, and I didn't put in the baking powder. I mean, I didn't have any, so I didn't want to run to the store, you know. You see what I'm saying? Just like becoming Krishna conscious, just like making banana bread, really. If you can bake banana bread, you can become a pure devotee. It's the same formula. It's follow the directions, that's all. If you can follow a recipe to make banana bread, you see, and you'll get some nice, but you do exactly what the recipe says, you'll get some first-class banana bread. You can offer to Krishna, you see. So in the same way, if you will follow the instructions in the cookbook, I mean to say the Prabhupada's books, you see, if you will follow Prabhupada's instructions strictly, you will realize Krishna. As Prabhupada told me in one letter, he said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. You see? So you can do that. We can all do it. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksa daiva hridayeshu valokayanti yang shama shundaram achintya gunasvarupam Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is Shama Sundar Krishna himself with inconceivable innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts with the eye of devotion tinged with the salve of love. So just become a pure devotee. Say, well, how can I do that? Well, you just follow the instructions, you become a pure devotee. One tip is you have to focus on it. What am I doing here? Why am I practicing this? You have to focus on that. What is the goal of what I'm doing? Say, well, my goal is to do this or that. That's one thing. But if you make your goal to become a pure devotee, I'm doing this process to become a pure devotee of Krishna who's qualified to see him face to face. That's why I'm doing this. If you take that, if you understand that that's really what you're doing here, and you focus every day when you get up, I have to try to move forward towards pure devotion now. At every minute today, I have to try to purify my consciousness more and more. I have to weed out all the crud which is now polluting my consciousness, you see, and bring in, or actually uncover. You're not bringing pure bhakti into your heart, Prabhus and Matajis. You're not bringing it in. You already have pure bhakti. You just have to remove the crud. That's all you have to do. You just got to remove the crud, the anartas. So actually, we're just weeding the garden. That's all we're really doing. The fruit of love of God is already there. It may be in a seedling state, but the fruit of love of God is already there. The fact that you're here practicing Krishna consciousness means the seed of pure love of God is already planted in your heart. You already have it. Now you have to cultivate that seed. To weed the garden, compared to a seedling. When you weed the garden and you water the seedling, that seedling will grow. If the weeds stay, if you hold on to lusty thoughts, greedy thoughts, angry thoughts, illusion thoughts, crazy thoughts, lazy thoughts, envious thoughts, then that creeper will be stifled, you see, by these anartas. You say, okay, anartas, out. Mr. Lust, go. Mr. Greed, get out. Mr. Anger, I don't need you anymore around here. Mr. Envy, just go jump in a lake somewhere and don't ever come back, you see. You tell these anartas to get the hell out. Get the hell out of my life. I've had enough of you guys bombarding me and destroying my happiness. Get out and don't ever come back, you see. You have to be strong with your own consciousness like that. Very strong with your own consciousness. You've got to be a tough fighter with your own mind, you see. You have to subdue that rascal, you see. And there's one other thing Prabhupada mentions, and that is the hati mutt of the mad elephant. You may have a very nice garden. You may have weeded it very nicely, but if some crazy elephant comes tromping, your creeper is finished, you see. So you have to make a very strong fence to protect against what is called Vaishnava aparad. We can never be offensive towards Vaishnavas because that completely wipes out our devotional creeper, at least for the time being, until we rectify the offense. So a strong steel-linked fence that no elephant can break through is required. So how do you do that then? How do you protect your sense against Vaishnava aparad? Narottam Das gives a very nice bhajan in this connection. He says, Anande bolo hari bhaja vrindavan Shri Guru Vaishnava pade majai aman. Ecstatically chant Hare Krishna and worship the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas also? Yes. Not the only I worship my Guru. My Guru is very good and others no. If my Guru comes to the temple, then I'll come hear his lecture. We see this when we travel and preach. Some devotees only come to the temple when their Guru comes to town. Otherwise, they don't want to come hear anybody else. Only my Guru Maharaj, you see. Of course, in one sense, the spiritual master is the authority, and one doesn't want to hear something against what your spiritual master is teaching. If somebody's preaching bogus things, you certainly don't want to, you don't want to absorb that. So that being dedicated to your spiritual master's teachings, that's very good. But in our ISKCON movement, we have so many preachers who are preaching strictly according to Prabhupada's teachings. So they are our siksha gurus, you see. So the more we can hear from anyone who is presenting properly the philosophy of Krishna consciousness according to Prabhupada's teachings, that will strengthen our own relationship with our spiritual masters, you see. So in this way, siksha guru, diksha guru. The diksha guru is the final authority. Actually, Prabhupada, this whole question was raised one time in Austin. My godbrother wrote Prabhupada a letter about this because he was accepting Vishnu Janaswami as his siksha guru. And he certainly was a very wonderful siksha guru, but somebody, a temple president from another city, objected. You can't do that. Only Prabhupada is a guru. So Prabhupada, this my godbrother wrote Prabhupada and asked him, he said that anyone who instructs you, he said, actually you only have one spiritual master, the one who initiates you. But anyone who instructs you the same thing your spiritual master is instructing, they can also be accepted as guru, you see. So that's called siksha guru. So that's proper understanding. So we have to then learn how to respect and love all of the Vaishnavas, especially those who are senior to us, who are preaching to us very nicely, and with full of compassion, who are preaching to us and helping us to come out of our illusion state and come to a state of pure bhakti. We should feel gratitude to all of them. I certainly feel gratitude to so many godbrothers and my disciples also. I see how my disciples are preaching very valiantly, very heroically, preaching Krishna consciousness in many different parts of the world. And I feel very blessed to have the association of such dedicated devotees. You know, they're my disciples. They're worshipable by me, actually, within my heart. They're worshipable by me. Dedicated disciples who are, and other devotees too, not just my disciples, but all devotees all over the world who have dedicated themselves for spreading Krishna consciousness, just like that Harinam party the other night. It was such a wonderful vibration. We had some horrible delays in the airport. We were stuck in Chicago for hours and hours, and all these delays, like all this, all this stressful stuff we went through. And then we land here, we go out there, and this ecstatic Harinam is just spewing mercy over the whole city of Kansas City. It was so inspiring and enlivening to see this kirtan going and to experience and tune into the vibe of that kirtan. It was so surcharged with bhakti. It was so enlivening for us, you see. So in this way, we have to learn how to appreciate all devotees all over the world, how they are manifesting devotion. And the more we can appreciate the devotion being manifested in the heart of other devotees, that helps us to increase our own devotion, you see. So we have to learn to appreciate, you see, the devotional service of the Vaishnavas. And that way our Krishna consciousness becomes very, very, very strong. We can appreciate the service that others are doing, not just think about my service. No, see how wonderfully the other devotees are serving. The more you love and appreciate the Vaishnavas, the more Krishna will be pleased with you. Krishna confirms in the Gita, he says, in the Adi Purana, he confirms, Ye me bhakta jana parata, na me bhakta shtate janaha, mad bhaktanam cha ye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. My dear Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, na me bhaktas. He is not my devotee. You go, wow. Krishna says, the one who is my devotee is not my devotee. What is he talking about here? He says, no, the one who is the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So the more you become the not just of your Guru Maharaj, but all the devotees, especially your Guru Maharaj, you see, especially your Guru Maharaj, but all the devotees also, you see. The more you become the devotee of all the devotees, the more Krishna will recognize you and bless you with prema. The more you love devotees, the more you love Krishna. When I joined the movement, I remember one senior devotee came down from Dallas and he said, it's Maya to love devotees. You're only supposed to love Krishna. I was going, what? That doesn't sound right. You can't love devotees? I mean, wow, what is this philosophy? I was a junior man. I just a new bhakta. I couldn't say anything. And it was some senior Brahman, you know. You don't love devotees. That's Maya. You can only love Krishna. I was going, what? But I kept that memory of that for a few years, you know. And one day we got some Xerox copy of a new book that hadn't been printed yet. It was called the Nectar of Instruction, the Upadeshamrita. It hadn't been published yet. I've got an advanced Xerox copy, and I said, wow, talking about the loving exchanges with the Vaishnavas. Jai, I knew it. I knew it. You are supposed to love the devotees. Jai. I was so happy when I saw them. I knew I was right. I just kept quiet for years. I didn't say a word, you know. I kept mum about it, you know. You don't want to offend a senior Brahmin, you know. I just kept mum. But then there it was. There it was. The six kinds of loving exchanges with Vaishnava, you see. You give gifts to the devotees, you accept gifts from the devotees. You serve prasad to the devotees. You gratefully accept the prasad from them when they serve you, you see. You reveal your mind to the devotees. You open your heart for them to reveal their mind to you. In this way, these six loving exchanges. What if I don't have any gifts? I'm just a poor brahmachari. I have no gifts. Well, you can give your service. That is all. That's a gift of your time. By giving service, you're giving a gift of your time, isn't it? Is it? Actually, anyone who serves a Vaishnava, they make spiritual advancement. Even a slight service for a Vaishnava, you see. Even if some materialists, sometimes they do a little, they don't realize, they just do some service for a devotee, you see. And they get benefit. Any service you do for any devotee is greatly beneficial for your spiritual life. So take advantage of Vaishnava Sangha, associate with Vaishnavas, serve them, love them, and Krishna will become your property. So now we have some questions rolling in. Let's try to look at the internet here and see what we got first of all on the internet. Let's see. Srila Gurudev, sometimes Siksha Gurus are not 100% teaching the same thing as my Diksha Guru. Then they're not, if someone is teaching, the Diksha Guru means he's preaching Prabhupada, if he's actually a Diksha Guru now. If someone is actually a Diksha Guru, they're purely giving you exactly what Prabhupada says. Now, if they're giving you something different, they're not a guru at all. They're just a rascal. Okay? The guru means, actual guru means one who's giving you purely what Prabhupada has given. If he's throwing in any, he's subtracting and subtracting anything, he's not a guru. He's called lagu. Guru means heavy, and lagu means a fluff. A lightweight, a fluff. You see, just a fluff. A rascal. So actual guru means one who is giving you purely what Prabhupada says. Now if someone is giving you something different than what Prabhupada says, they're not guru. We had that experience one time. We were hearing a lecture in our Mumbai temple. And one devotee said, and he was actually a ritvik. I don't know why they let him give class, but he said, "We should only hear from Srila Prabhupada." And I was thinking then, "Prabhu, why are you sitting on the Vyasasana?" You see, "We should only hear from Prabhupada and no one else. Get off the Vyasasana, Prabhu. If that's your philosophy, then get off the Vyasasana." Actually, Manaji, my wife raised her hand, but I think she raised her hand. I was too timid to say anything, actually. I thought it, but I didn't say it. I was too timid. I should have said it. I should have been more bold and said, "Prabhu, then how can you sit in the Vyasasana and give a Bhagavatam class if your philosophy is we should only hear from Prabhupada?" You see? So sometimes there are bogus things said, so you need to read the books. You need to study the books so you can know who is preaching parampara and who shouldn't be sitting on the Vyasasana. You've got to tell the authorities if somebody's preaching Mayavadi philosophy or Sahaja philosophy. Don't allow this person to give class anymore. You should all become transcendental cops who know the philosophy so well you can see who's deviating, and you can tell your authorities not to let that person lecture anymore. Tell him what he, yesterday he was telling us that we should. Actually, we had an experience when Godbrother, he was into Sahajaism. He sat on the Vyasasana at the Sunday feast. And he said, "Now everybody pick your rasa. What rasa would you like to have with Krishna?" And start meditating on it. That's bogus, you see. You cannot disciple. You know, some karmic, "Well, I think I'd like to be a gopi so I can kiss Krishna, you know, I can hug Krishna. I think I'd like to be a gopi. That sounds like it'd be a good deal to be a gopi. So I'll start meditating. Yeah, I'm a gopi. I'm a gopi. I'm a gopi. I'm a gopi." This is what he was telling the people at the Sunday feast lecture. I had to report it to the GBC. We had a recording of it. I sent a, recording to the GBC, an MP3 file via the internet to the GBC, and they had to get chastise him, not allow him to preach that way anymore. Because actually, Rasa, your actual relationship with Krishna is revealed to you. You already have it. You don't pick it. You already have your particular relationship with Krishna. It's already there right now. And it's revealed to you when you become a pure devotee, not before that. You're an absolutely, totally sold out, surrendered Vaishnava to your spiritual master, and you go through all the things of anartanaviti, nishta, ruchi, and you finally come to the stage called sakti. Prabhupada explains in his purport that the sakti stage, then you realize your relationship with Krishna. So anybody tells you, well, you know, pick your rasa, or actually you're actually this or that. That's not proper preaching. So, yeah, one has to, if someone is not preaching the parampara message, they shouldn't be giving the classes, and they should be reported to the temple authorities, not let this person give class anymore. Because it's not, we don't want to pollute our, this is an educational institution. We have to give the proper information. Why a woman can't be a guru? Let's see here. All right. Why a woman can't be a guru? Generally, women do not initiate disciples, and that's in our tradition. Prabhupada does give the example of Suniti, who was the siksha guru of her son, Dhruva. But Prabhupada says because she was a woman, therefore she could not initiate him for two reasons. She's the mother, and she's also a woman's body, therefore does not initiate. So generally that is in the Vedic culture a principle that women don't initiate, although sometimes it's there. There are rare cases like Janavamata. She initiated. But remember that she was actually an eternal, she was a liberated soul who descended from the spiritual world. And all of her disciples were considered disciples, and Lord Nityananda, her husband also. Her husband, Lord Nityananda, had departed. So they weren't just considered her disciples, they're also considered to be his disciples, you see. So there are sometimes cases where a lady becomes initiating guru, but it's generally not. As a rule, it's not there, but in sometimes exceptional occasions, it's there in our Vaishnava tradition. Yes.
I heard that there is a teaching that if we become humble enough, everybody is our guru. Is that consistent with
what you're saying?
He heard the teaching that when you become humble, sufficiently humble, everybody becomes your guru.
Yes, absolutely. Prabhupada says the spiritual master accepts all of his disciples as his gurus. So yes, from one who is actually in that mood of Trinada, peace, and nature, everyone is his guru. You see? Everyone, even Bhakti Richard becomes his guru. You see? Yes.
My question, kind of already answered it before, I think, but it would always be very helpful to have more info on it. A long, long time ago, years and years ago, like, I was in a situation and it was like swimming in a lake. And this was with a devotee. And later I learned, you know, swimming in a lake is not really Krishna service, so I didn't do this again, you know, while living in a temple, but was there with, you know, a senior devotee.
Let me stop you every few sentences because I can't hear it.
Sorry.
You can. It's distorting, and I can't. Maybe you have to. What's he saying?
He's saying that years ago he was swimming in a lake, and he learned that this is not devotional service to Krishna, so he stopped doing that.
But while we were there, it was like swimming. We were kind of playing and kind of rubbing. Kind of almost like pushing me down in the water, and it was like almost, you know, really tough. But how do you deal with someone who's just being really harsh and like, kind of like that?
Was it a devotee?
Yeah.
The devotee who he was swimming with in the water was playing rough and putting him under the water and not letting him come up for air.
That's a devotee?
Yeah, it's many years ago.
Call that a devotee? Someone who's holding you under the water and all you come up for air? How that person can be a devotee?
Yeah, it's many years ago.
What kind of devotee is that?
That's what I've dealt with. So
Sometimes devotees don't act like devotees, they act like kermis. So, that's why we have training programs. That's why we have classes. Because we have to learn how to be devotees. We take up devotional service, but yet we have so many non-devotee characteristics we bring with us. It's all this baggage, you see. That's why we need the training from senior Vaishnavas to learn actually how to become in the mood of a devotee. A devotee wouldn't do that to somebody. Hold him under the water and let him come up for air. It's like torturing him. That's demoniac to do something like that. And that's not a devotee's behavior. That's a demoniac behavior. So sometimes it happens. Devotees act in ways that are demoniac, because they're just neophytes. So that's why we need guru, why we need senior devotees to train us how to give up our demoniac tendencies and become pure devotees. Well, I'm glad you didn't drown. I'm glad you didn't drown. You're with us here today. That's good.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Let's see. Another question came from the internet. How to get free from lust and anger in one go? Well, that's pretty good if you can do it in one go. I like your question. We'd all like to do it in one go. Boom. All right. You know, flip a little switch. No more lust. No more anger. That'd be great. But it does happen in rare cases. There are examples of people who became pure devotees in one go. The example is of Katvanga Maharaj. In one go, he became a pure devotee. Boom. But generally, it's a very gradual process. You become a little less lusty, a little less angry, slightly less lusty, slightly less angry, and gradually. I compare it to the sunrise, you see. Does the darkness of the night go away in one go? No. Is it all of a sudden completely dark night and all of a sudden, boom, it's bright daylight? No, it happens gradually. If you ever watch the sunrise, it's like very subtle in the beginning. You don't see the sun yet, but a little brightness starts to manifest. It becomes a little bit lighter. And you don't see the sun, but then gradually, the tiny little sliver peaks up, and then boom, it finally manifests. So our awakening of getting free from lust and anger is more like a sunrise than just flipping on the light switch in your bedroom. It's more like a sunrise. It's a gradual process, you see. Just like here I am after 45 years, I'm still working on it. Still working on getting rid of lust and anger. But I'm definitely much better off than I was 45 years ago. I can absolutely affirm that as a fact. I'm much less lusty and angry than I was 45 years ago. You see? So in this way, it's a process where you gradually get free from these tendencies. Instead of seeing a woman as an object of sense pleasure, you see somebody to engage in Krishna service. Prabhupada says that's how a devotee enjoys women, by engaging in Krishna service. You see, when Krishna enjoys, then the devotee is satisfied. You see, we enjoy by seeing that Krishna enjoys. You see, a materialist, he wants to enjoy a woman by having sex pleasure. You see, so a devotee, he enjoys women by engaging in Krishna service. Prabhupada explains in one purport. He doesn't. His happiness is engage everything in Krishna's service. All men, all women, all men, all money, all buildings, everything. Engage the whole world in Krishna's service. That's his happiness. Okay, any more questions? Vrajendra Nandana.
Gurudev, so many times I take up one of the books of Prabhupada, started reading, and then after some time, the practice discontinues. And
what continues?
Practice.
So like I
can really hear him really well.
His practice of reading regularly.
Oh, you read regularly. Very good.
So
Prabhupada said every one of my disciples must read all of my books, and that also includes grand disciples. Prabhupada's order is that you should read all of his books. Everyone should read all of his books. Yeah, continue.
I continue it for some time, and then it discontinues. I mean, I stopped.
Then you just have the solution is a bookmark. You have a bookmark where you left off. Some of you get time, you take it up again. Let's say you have to go on a book distribution marathon or something like that. Or you have your work, there's some big marathon at your job. You just keep a bookmark. You systematically read all the books. When you have free time, you can read a lot. When you don't have free time, you may have to put it aside for a while. But you keep a marker where you left off so you can continue on doing your duty of reading all the books.
So my point is, it's not because I don't have time to read. It's because... Because
you're a rascal?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, stop being a rascal. I'm ordering you not to be a rascal anymore. As my disciple, you have to obey me and stop being a rascal. Good? There you go. Next.
The soul experiences zero enjoyment when the senses are titillated. Or stimulation, external stimulation.
It's only an illusion of enjoyment. There's no real enjoyment. Yeah.
And so it made me wonder if sometimes we hear that in the human form of life, we can go.
I'm you're better without the mic than my hearing.
Humans can go up or down. Human being can elevate or degrade.
That's right.
But my experience is that everyone has some spiritual experience. Everyone hears song or sees a sunrise or has a pleasant conversation or goes on a walk in the
forest.
Yes. And they experience something.
Everyone has some inclination or experience of spirituality. Everyone.
So how is it they can go down? If every human being has some understanding, there's something higher. How is it that we go down to animals after that?
Well, look at the gross example of the Christians. They believe in God, but they're doing all sinful activities. They're killing the cows and eating the meat by sinful activities. They have some idea of God, and that's very good. But they don't actually know how to please God. You see, they're acting sinfully. Just like many Christians now are killing their babies, also abortion. There are many Christians who are... they say pro-choice, but we call it pro-murder. There are many Christians who are pro-murder. And they're killing cows, they're killing babies, and they go to church, you see. Even their ministers are pro-murder. So even though they have some spiritual inclination, because they're not properly educated in the science of God, they do things which are very detrimental for them, which will force them to become animals their next birth. You understand? Due to ignorance. Therefore, this book distribution is so important. We have to flood this world with Prabhupada's books. These teachings have to be disseminated so they can be educated. There's no proper spiritual education being given in the churches or anywhere on this planet right now. Only our movement is giving this education. Our movement is the leading educational institution on this planet. Therefore, we have to expand our outreach until the whole world is taking training from us. We have to. Otherwise, they're just going down to the animal kingdom. Okay? Okay, we have about 1 or 2 minutes left. Any more questions? There's no more from the internet. And there's no more from the Kansas City net. Oh, here's one more.
Okay. There is many questions.
There's another one came in?
Yeah,
oh, okay. Let me scroll down here.
There are many questions.
Oh, many questions. Okay, well, no more new questions then. We'll go ahead and wrap it up for the ones that are here. Arinta from Lithuania. If I correctly understand, spiritual envy is not very bad. Yes, Prabhupada told me how to be spiritually envious. I have a letter, a personal instruction from Prabhupada about how to be envious spiritually. However, envy causes suffering. How to use envy correctly and not make damage to us. But here's the interesting story, because I joined in a remote center where Prabhupada wasn't... Actually, our temple president declined Prabhupada's offer to come to Austin. I was shocked. But he was afraid we'd make some offense. Prabhupada offered to come to Austin, but the temple president, oh no, we'll make some offense. We can't have Prabhupada come here. It was really dumb, the mistake he made. But anyway, here I am, a little temple. You know, I hear about Prabhupada's in L.A., he's in New York, he's in Dallas. I'm not seeing Prabhupada. The other devotees are getting it. They're going in the morning walks. We're hearing the tapes from the morning walks. I'm sitting there in Austin or wherever it was, where I was in different places, and hearing about all these devotees associating with Prabhupada, and boy, was I envious. I was so envious of these devotees getting Prabhupada's association. But you're not supposed to be envious. That's a no-no. You know? So I was feeling bad. I'm envious. So I wrote Prabhupada. I said, Prabhupada, I'm envious of my godbrothers are getting your association so much, and I'm not getting it. What can I do to get free from this envy? And Prabhupada surprised me with his answer. He really surprised me. He says, spiritual envy means when you see somebody is being recognized by Krishna more than you, you should try harder so that Krishna recognize you also. There you go. And so I was thinking, well, I mean, that means I have to become more qualified that Prabhupada would want to bless me with his association, you know. I'm just some, just like one godbrother, he was walking on the beach behind Prabhupada in the morning walk. He was actually, Prabhupada on the beach, you know, the footprints in the sand, he was stepping in Prabhupada's footprint. He was saying, I'm walking in Prabhupada's footprints. He was right behind Prabhupada, seeing his head. But he was thinking, here I am right behind Prabhupada, I'm actually a million miles away from Prabhupada. So being physically close isn't really being close. So I was hankering for physical closeness. But Prabhupada told me, just try, then you try harder so Krishna recognize you also. So if you see that others being recognized more than you, then try harder. Try to be more sincere, to be more dedicated, to accomplish more, distribute more books, make more devotees, you know, do something, decorate the deities more beautifully. This is transcendental competition. You can do this. To sing the kirtan better than others, try to sing more enlivened, try to make the most and be the most enlivened kirtan singer, you see. This is the way you can, it's probably we can use these things for Krishna. So then the interesting wrap up of the story was, okay, now I'm in Atlanta and Prabhupada's on the Vyasa sign. I'm standing on the right side of his Vyasa. I would get as close as I could. I was standing right on the right side of Prabhupada. And on the left side was his personal servant, the object of my envy. He was traveling with Prabhupada, with him, living with him, Shrutakirti Prabhu. There was Shrutakirti Prabhu, the object of my envy. On the other side of the Vyasasana, I'm looking across Prabhupada's lap at Shrutakirti, the object of my envy. And what is Shrutakirti was looking, he was beaming at me in the most loving, beautiful, warm smile you could ever believe. He was beaming at me with love. And I realized that all this mercy that Prabhupada is flooding the universe with is bouncing off Shrutakirti, and through Shrutakirti it's coming on to me. So it was a good realization about being envious of the devotees who were getting Prabhupada's association. It was a wonderful experience that day when the object of my envy, I realized he was bestowing mercy upon me. He was getting so much mercy by being with Prabhupada, but he was sharing it with me. Yeah. More questions? Okay. All right. But I heard the GBC is going to allow them. Well, I'm against it. I'm lobbying with the GBC that they won't do that. In fact, I wrote a paper at the North American meeting last January, said, do not open Pandora's box. There are many GBCs who are opposed to this Lady Diksha Guru issue, and I'm not the GBC, but I am opposed to it. And I've let leaders know I'm opposed to it. I've written a paper distributed to all the leaders in North America. Why am I opposed to it? I've been congratulated for my boldness, and I've also been told that I am Pandora's box by other leaders. So I have opened my paper was Pandora's box. So we'll see. But I'm against it because Prabhupada is against it. It's right there in the purport. They say, but other Prabhupada said other things in the letters, but the books are the most authoritative things. Their letters are written according to time, place, and circumstance. What's written in the books is the laws for the next 10,000 years, Prabhupada said. So, yeah, I'm opposing it. I let the GBCs know. And I spoke about it. I read a paper about it, a meeting. So I'm opposed to it because it's not Prabhupada's teachings. That's all. I hope the GBC doesn't make a mistake. Sometimes they do make mistakes, and they have to correct their mistakes. One year they passed a resolution, and next year they canceled it and realized it was wrong. I hope the GBC doesn't pass this. There are members of the member GBC who are trying to pass it. I hope that doesn't pass. Every year I just hope it doesn't pass, because it's against Prabhupada's teachings. Yes? Okay. All right. And is heart cleaning related to crying going parallel? Well, actually, when you cry tears of love, when you cry tears of ecstasy in the kirtan, that is cleansing your heart. It's a fact. If you cry in ecstasy in the kirtan, that crying means your heart is being cleaned. Okay? Anandavardhana Das from Austin. Haranyakashipu showed so much affection, but later some father hated his child and wanted to kill. But how can I, as a sadhaka devotee, maintain neutral affection of feeling for all? A devotee learns to see everything equally. This is stated by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. That nice verse is saying that one sees pandita samadarshinaha, he sees with equal vision a cow, an elephant, a Brahmin, a dog eater, he sees all equally. So how do you develop that pandita samadarshinaha? You have to become pandita. Samadarshana comes to those who are pandita, those who are learned in Vedic philosophy. You have to learn to see everything through the eyes of the scripture. You can't just see through your own mental whims. You have to always see everything through the eyes of the scripture. Become learned in scripture and see everything. Train yourself to always see everything through scripture. That's how you'll have samadarshana, or equal vision. And it looks like that's it. So our time is up and our questions are gone. And we thank you all very, very much for coming today. Please make this Krishna consciousness the only purpose for your existence, to awaken pure love of God within your hearts, and to Krishnaize this planet, that everybody can become Krishna conscious as soon as possible and get free from the hellish nightmare of sense gratification consciousness. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.